Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, everyone, and welcome to Franchise Interviews, where we're asking the franchisepreneur who owns one. I'm your host, Marty McDermott, my co-host, Don Johnson, and if you've ever dreamed of owning your own business, then you've come to the right place. We have a great show this morning. We're meeting with CEO Fez Agbazian of Instant Tax Service Franchise Opportunity. Fez has an incredible story, which he's going to be talking about on Segment 2 of Franchise Interviews. So stick around, because we got a great show.
Are you one of those special people who are willing to go after your dreams and goals? Are you ready to fulfill that dream of owning your own business with the security of a proven brand? The opportunity to take control of your future and own a Rita's Italian Ice franchise is within your reach.
Rita's is seeking success-oriented individuals who are ready to make a change in their life, and Rita's offers unparalleled training and support to assure your success. And did you know the frozen treat industry is a recession-proof industry, and there are Rita's in 23 states currently with 540 stores open. Rita's Italian Ice has been around for 25 years and is listed as a top-performing franchise by the Wall Street Journal.
Now here's the really good part. Rita's Italian Ice is a unique and amazing taste treat. It's smoother than a snow cone, and it combines ice with real fresh fruit. The real fruit adds dramatically to the taste, and it comes in over 40 flavors. The ice and fruit are mixed on site and made fresh daily, and it is delicious.
You'll want to know more about this exciting and successful franchise opportunity. Go to www.ownaritas.com and get all your questions answered. That's www.ownaritas.com to take control of your dreams and future today. You don't want to wait any longer to be a part of this adventure. www.ownaritas.com. Franchise Interviews. For over 2 years now, Franchise Interviews has been giving you an up-close, behind-the-scenes look at franchising and entrepreneurship.
Through our website, franchiseinterviews.com, where you can hear and read interviews, as well as get tips from some of the most successful sources in franchising.
And our weekly franchise radio show, where each week you get to hear a new interview with franchisors, franchisees, franchise authors, experts, and attorneys.
And our free franchise newsletter, which is a must-read for anyone looking to buy a franchise.
And don't forget to listen to our podcast, Great Quotes in Franchising. For more information, go to franchiseinterviews.com or call us at 610-905-2919.
That's 610-905-2919.
Hi, everyone, and welcome back to Franchise Interviews, where we're asking the franchisepreneur who owns one. I'm your host, Marty McDermott, my co-host, Don Johnson, and if you've ever dreamed of owning your own business, then you've come to the right place. And today's show is being brought to you by Franchise Times Magazine. Franchise Times is the only publication targeted for franchisors and multi-unit franchisees. How you doing today, Don? Welcome back.
I'm doing great, Marty. How about yourself? How are you this week?
Good. As always, keeping busy. You know, it's hard to imagine another week has gone by. You know, it feels like 5 seconds from the last show. But yeah, it's a wet, rainy day here in Pennsylvania today.
Right. Yeah, same here in New Jersey.
Yeah. So, you know, but otherwise everything's going well. Summer's going by fast.
Yeah, getting to the end. It's incredible.
Sure. Does go by fast, that's for sure, you know. But our last show, Don, is a very interesting show, something that we've you know, been talking about for such a long time. We had the team from Diamond Financial Services, and just thought it was a great show. You know, I went back and listened to it. It was a treat for me, you know what I mean, because it was something a little different. You know, it's more your background, you know. So I was
right.
Kind of educated in the whole process. And learned a lot. I thought they did a fantastic job. I guess, what were your thoughts on last week without being partial?
Well, it's certainly good timing to have the show with financing still being a problem and a struggle for people nationwide and franchisors,
right.
And just talking about the current state of lending. And Steve Mariani, my business partner, and he's the founder of Diamond Financial. It's great having him on. He's so knowledgeable, knows so many people.
Yeah.
Always on top of what's going on with latest news in SBA and business lending with lenders and everything. So it's good having him on. And then Bill Seagraves, our Denver, Colorado office. And he has a niche, especially also in retirement rollover services, which is what a lot of people do
to
start up a business or franchise. So it was a good, you know, nice informative show.
It sure was. I love the story that Steve was telling about how he had in his desk. He has all these, like, testimonial letters, you know, and just it must be a feel-good business, you know, for you and all the guys, I guess, at Diamond Financial Services, you know, what you do. I mean, you really do change people's lives. I mean, you're involved in it to some extent, you know what I mean? I think without Diamond Financial, I think a lot of people would have given up, and I think there's a lot of people out there that wouldn't be franchisees today, you know, and Steve mentioned stories like that of people coming to him saying, you know what, maybe you know, maybe I'm far off. Maybe I'm not doing the right thing. All these banks have rejected me, and, you know, I'm barking up the wrong tree. And, you know, Steve will look at it, or you'll look at it, you know, or Bill, and say, you know, wait a minute. You got something here, and you know what? You should continue, and it's really changed people's lives, I think. So I think it's
all many success stories. It's common that we help people who've already been discouraged or gotten declined from local lenders and at their end, and then they get referred to us by a franchisor or find one of our sites, and we help people. One of our slogans is, why use one lender when you can have access to them all? And we're always on top of which lenders are out there lending. More than ever these days, lenders are changing their criteria, and they're all over the place. That's in good times and bad times. Diamond's always needed because lenders are very inconsistent and slow, and they change terms. And so we're here to bring consistency and just – of course, maximize someone's chance of approval. That's that quote, that percentage, 84% of loans get declined because they're not packaged up completely or correctly, or the loan's not sent to the right type of lender at such a high number.
Yeah, that's amazing. Why do you think it is that so many people go to a bank? I mean, is it just because of perception? I mean, just like people still have that old school philosophy that, you know, I want a business loan, I'm going to go to a bank. I
guess
that's probably what it is, right? They just
don't
know.
People like to meet someone, you know, face to face. It's convenience right down the street from them.
Right.
They're thinking it's a you know, local bank, and they're going to have an interest in doing a local business loan.
Yeah.
But usually it's just the opposite. Most of the people we've helped over the years, over 10 years, most of the time the people have never even gone to that bank.
Wow.
Because a lot of SBA lenders are preferred SBA lenders in many states, but they don't have branches in that state.
Right, exactly.
So a lot of it's done through the mail.
Wow.
People can get better terms and have a better process of most of the time working with you know, a bank that they'll probably never meet, I guess, in person.
Yeah, and I guess that's why it's so important, like a company like Diamond Financial that'll like these franchise shows, you know, because these aspiring entrepreneurs or prospective franchisees, they just don't know about your kind of service, you know, but I think it does make all the difference.
Yeah, there's so many crucial parts. You really need a specialist, someone to coordinate, manage it, go to the right lender, get the best terms, have someone be on the side of the franchisee and the borrower,
right?
Not the lender. It's always the lender against the borrower. Well,
sure.
Diamond's on the side of the borrower.
Absolutely. It was interesting. So it's just a great show, and again, we'll have the guys from Diamond back next year on the show.
Definitely,
as well,
yeah.
You know, so
to give the update, because there'll be changes in lending in the fall and into next year.
That's true. It's always changing. Next week we have we're doing something interesting. We're doing a lawyer or franchise attorney symposium. You know, and it's going to be like a 2.5 to 3 hour show. You know, over the last couple of years, we've had some of the biggest franchise attorneys in the country on our show. You know, we've compiled them all together. And next week's one of those shows you just don't want to miss. So that's our first.
And what's interesting, I mean, you know, to hear, you know, several hours of attorneys speaking, and what is it, about 3 or 4 different attorneys, but, I mean, it would cost someone, I mean, you know, thousands, maybe tens of thousands of dollars in paying fees to an attorney on what you'll be hearing on these shows, because we have attorneys talking about, you know, negotiating lease space. start up your franchise and the franchise agreement, the FDD, all important points during the whole process of franchising.
Oh, it's going to be incredible. I mean, we're going to have Kevin Hine, we're going to have Nancy Lenar, there's like three other franchise attorneys that we've had on the show, you know, since we've been doing it, and just talking about all different types of topics. And you're right, the advice that our listeners are going to get on that particular day, probably $5,000, $10,000, if not $20,000, you know, worth of free legal advice, you know, so you just don't want to miss next week's show. It's really that important. And I know when you and I had all those franchise attorneys on the show, you and I were like, wow, which is very, very informative. So,
you know, should we have listeners give us their credit card number?
I guess we should. I mean, we could make a lot of money next week if we charge the show, you know. It's, but, you know, again, that's the great thing. It's our loyalty to our listeners, you know, is giving back to the franchise community. You know, and a lot of people have done that, Don. You know, they've thanked us. You know, even Steve at that, you know, the end of last week's show, I don't know if he caught it, but he said, you know, thanks for what you guys are doing, you know, for to the franchise community. You know, it's just, you know, and we get those letters too, you know, people thanking us, saying, you know, wow, I just heard about your show, and it's just very informative, and there's just so much information out there on our website now. I mean, again, it's like 135 hours of material, you know, and you listen to those 135 hours over a weekend, you'll know more about franchising than anyone on earth. So it's really that good. So, you know. But anyway, you had some interesting articles, I know. You had some hot articles, didn't you?
Some real hot
presses.
Had some real interesting articles. Well, first one, here's a longtime franchise. I'm not sure if I was ever a member. They've been out there for years. Gold's Gyms stand the test of time.
Right.
Sometimes the tried and true works best for folks. Gold's Gym has been around longer than most and are the fitness centers of choice for numerous people around the country. The tradition started more than 40 years ago when Joe Gold opened a modest fitness center in Venice Beach, California.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Began a tradition of commitment, passion, and dedication, and now is practiced at more than 600 locations across the globe.
Wow.
At a Gold's Gym near you, for example, there's 25 Maryland locations, 37 Virginia, 20 in D.C.
Mm-hmm.
This is, it goes on saying, you'll find all the latest cardio and strength training equipment along with the dynamic group exercise program that includes classes such as yoga, group cycling, mixed martial arts, muscle endurance training, and Pilates.
Oh, really?
So I didn't realize Gold has this type of variety.
Yeah, I didn't know that either. That's interesting.
And it goes on, I used to work out with a personal trainer but found it to be expensive, and I felt I wasn't getting as much cardio work as I think I needed, says Jen Atkin, who works out locally. I joined Gold's in part because I know a lot of people who work out there, but I was also looking for a gym with a full schedule of group fitness classes.
Wow.
Just a little update on Gold's Gym, how they're really growing, and they're here in Central Jersey. I saw them actually along the shore, one location. Leased out a huge space for what they do.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. They do. They have a pretty big setup, you know. It's interesting, you know, something that you're, you know, talking about, and I don't know if you're going to talk about it today, but, you know, last week we were talking about it, and I've been thinking about it all week, you know, is how a lot of franchisors that are out there, they're kind of, I don't say consolidating, but, you know, I've noticed that trend. You know, a lot of times we'll get people asking us, you know, what trends are taking place in franchising, and I've noticed that I think the one you mentioned last week might have been Howard Johnson's, and not that they're making them smaller, but some of the places are going a little smaller, so the lease space is less expensive, you know, and you wonder if someone like Gold's Gym would ever do that, like if there ever is, like, wasted space, you know, especially in today's economy, you have to really think outside.
They're probably going the other way because there's such good deals on lease space.
That's true. That's
and they're the type of facility that really need to put a lot of their equipment. If anything, they probably have larger locations at a,
great,
you know,
yeah,
at a lower price.
That. Yeah, that's great.
And, you know, just the industry in general, with the fitness franchises, you know, I've seen some new ones over the last couple of years, and a franchise like Snap Fitness, like Gary Finley's doing, it's very popular and growing nationwide. It's, I guess anything to do with the health and fitness and diet are always going to be attractive.
It seems that way, yeah, absolutely. I think those are here to stay.
Here's something, Marty, the Washington Times by Elise Anderson, Jobless Seek Future in Franchising. As Elizabeth Winterhalter and her husband, Monty, packed up their house in Connecticut for their move, they were eager and anxious about trading the pain of unemployment for the promise and peril of something they had never tried before, running a franchise.
Some of these writers are just fantastic, you know, the way they start off that first paragraph, you know.
Monty was managing 1,200 employees at a JCPenney's East Coast office and worked for them for 35 years. He did everything for them. Then in January, they let him go. That was the only job he ever had. He started as a supervisor and then worked his way up to the head guy. Losing his job was a shock, said his wife, who also found out in February that her teaching job would be reduced to part-time.
Oh, my God.
Unbelievable. You think, what can we do? And we decided to turn the whole thing around. We knew we would have to move. We had a big house and expensive house payments, she said. The move is taking Mr. and Mrs. Winterhalter more than 300 miles to a rental house where they will live while trying to negotiate a lease location for their Red Mango franchise, which will serve healthy, non-fat frozen yogurt in the Washington area.
Wow.
Franchising has become a popular trend among those recently faced with unemployment because of cutbacks due to the recession, a fate that both of them experienced in the Hartford area.
Wow. I mean, franchising has really been responsible for saving a lot of these people's lives, if you think about it. You know, I mean, what else would they have done, some of them? You know what I mean? And
right.
So it is interesting. I'm curious, and I don't know if the article says it, but why they selected this particular franchise. You know, that's always an interesting story for me. What was it about that particular franchise that stood out above the other, you know, several thousand that are out there? It's kind of
that's always interesting, and that's why recently we've had franchisees on the show. That's always a question we want to ask about training, how they chose the franchise, how was their due diligence process. Alyssa Harrison, Vice President of Communications and Marketing for the IFA located in Washington, said, generally during recessions we see an increased interest in people wanting to get into franchising. But what's most interesting is that there is an increase in the experience and quality of people because they are often highly skilled workers who have been recently laid off. Our members are saying that they're getting an increased level of experienced applicants, people who are more serious, she said.
We've seen that before, haven't we? We've seen that quote, you know, from various sources saying that the pool of franchisees that are out there today, they are more qualified, and it seems like there's a better match for a lot of franchisors because, you know, that's a big problem for them too. You know, I mean, they're just as concerned as far as who they're going to let into their system because once you let them into your system, you're, I don't say stuck with them, but, you know, you got that contract for 10 years. So they have just as much at stake, you know, so they're just as nervous about the whole thing sometimes.
Exactly. Good point. Yeah, we have mentioned that a few times the last couple of months. In a 2008 report for the International Franchise Association Educational Foundation, PricewaterhouseCoopers said that in 2005, business format franchises operate 773,000 establishments in the U.S., a number that grew to 847,000 by 2007.
Wow.
That might be a new statistic for us.
It is a new statistic, yeah. I mean, I think you and I have been talking, saying that we think we were predicting by 2009 it was going to hit 1 million units, but I don't know how far we are from that. You know, these statistics you always have to be a little careful with, you know, who it's coming from and how they're counting, yeah, I would say it's pretty close to that number. That's interesting.
Says the number of full-time and part-time jobs provided by franchise businesses increased from 9 million to 9.8 million during the same period. Although these numbers were expected to decline slightly in the 2008-2009 due to the recession, the decline in the number of establishments and output were predicted to be less substantial than the growth seen in 2007-2008. As franchising becomes more popular among the recently unemployed, these franchisees are hoping the franchise industry fares better with other industries in today's economy. It's make it or break it right now, but with a lot of hard work, we can be successful, Mrs. Winterhalter said, after explaining that her husband's severance check is being used to fund the franchise.
Wow.
We couldn't even try to get a loan for a home because it's so hard. You can't get a loan if you can't show income. So that was just one more thing for us, but you have to keep going. So we sold our house, and we'll be renting until we know where we're leasing, she said. So, you know, they're taking a step back. They're taking a risk. But at the same time, it's not as much of a risk as if they started a non-franchise business from scratch. At least they're going somewhere where, you know, Red Mango is, you know, going to train them, and they're starting to get to be pretty well known around the country. And, you know, hopefully in, you know, a few years they'll own several locations.
Yeah, no, it's a great story, you know, and you hope the best for them, you know. And, again, the main thing with this whole situation is they have to follow the system for that particular franchise. You know, and again, I suspect that they probably know that. You know, they seem like, from what you described, you know, good candidates for franchising.
Yeah. It goes on here, Marty. Like the Winterhalters, Angela Dillon of Texas decided to open a franchise when she lost her job despite being a faithful long-term employee. After losing her job at Citibank in May of 2008, Ms. Dillon decided to open a Massage Heights franchise, which offers deep tissue and therapeutic massages to its customers. We know that franchise. We had them on our show in the past.
Had them on the show, yeah.
I had worked for them for 15 years, and I wasn't really happy that you work with a company for 15 years and then you're just laid off. I didn't want that to happen again, she said. As a single mother, she needed time away from the corporate environment. She needed more time for family and more flexibility.
Right.
Financing the franchise was tough. She had to use a combination of her own saved money and retirement funds as well as loans.
Mm.
By using her retirement funds to finance a franchise, although a potential risk, may be the key to franchising in today's economic downturn.
Right.
Of course, we had Bill Seagraves on last week, Diamond Financial. We talked about that. My office has been working with companies like that for years. It gives people another option other than SBA or in combination with SBA.
Right, absolutely. That's interesting. There's been a conversation on the show, too, yeah. I mean, you know, that situation, you know, again, working 15 years for a company and then just, you know, sayonara, you know.
Yeah, it's the way it goes. I mean, it's a shock, and then what do you do? And it's people have to react quickly and take a risk, and, you know, it goes back to that forced entrepreneurship.
Right.
That you know, that famous quote that I did, in 07? In 07 now?
Well, it's have copyrighted, yeah, so I need permission from you to use it. So.
Yeah, so don't say it. Ms. Harrison of IFA explained that in many cases, people with access to such funds are the only ones who are capable of franchising in a difficult economy, as people who show an increased interest in franchising are probably people who will have more assets to tap into, especially financially. Franchising runs across 85 different industries, can range from a startup of $25,000 to a more expensive multi-million-dollar franchise.
Well, I never heard 85 industries before. That's a new number, too. There's a lot of facts coming out today, like a lot of change in the numbers.
Right.
You know?
We always had it at, about 80, right?
We had it at 80, yeah.
Even for the cheaper franchise options, accessing money that had previously been allocated for retirement may be much easier than applying for and receiving a loan, but it's still a risk.
Hmm.
Still, franchisees are drawn to the possibility of success as unemployment has left them with few options. Ms.
Right.
Dillon was hoping to see immediate results, but it's been about 7 months since we started, mid-December 07. We're still growing. Not the rate they expected, but the economy is rough. They definitely see some good signs. She always had a desire to own her own business, but it's simply too risky for a privately owned startup, so she went the franchising route. She's got about 15 people working for her, and hopefully, you know, she'll continue to grow and own multi-units. Here's someone else moving on later in the article. Someone opened up a Molly Maid franchise, part of Service Brands International. We had them on the show in the past. She says it wasn't easy to start up. We had to utilize a lot of savings. Writing the check can seem like the easiest part, but it's painful when you're starting, when you start writing the numbers. Like other entrepreneurs who are now new to the franchise business, she's wary about the future and survival of a new company. He's been told that the first 3 years are the most challenging, but with the current economic problems, there may be even longer struggle.
Mm-hmm.
So like anybody opening up a business, franchise or non-franchise, you know, there's going to be that time period of worry, struggle, working hard. But we know all the statistics with franchising. Your chances are higher.
Absolutely. That's interesting. Well, I mean, great articles, Don, you know. And, again, we're going to have to get some of those stats up on our on our websites, aren't we? Because there's been a lot of changes, it sounds like, over you know, 6 months. So great job, Don, on segment one, and we'll be right back with more franchise interviews.
Big now!
Okay, you've got my attention.
It's a rare event in the world of franchising when an opportunity comes your way that can and will thrive in almost any economic environment. It's here, and its name is Big Mouth Advertising.
Big Mouth.
BMA is a leader in the exciting world of mobile media advertising. Why is mobile media advertising able to defy the economic cycles? The answer is obvious. In times of economic weakness, advertising is crucial for survival as the consumer dollar is scarce and the competition fierce. What is mobile media? It's the newest and fastest growing segment in the advertising world. Mobile media brings the message directly to the consumer. Mobile media goes to the consumer in traffic where he eats and where he plays. It quite simply cannot be turned off or thrown out. And when you join the Big Mouth team as a franchisee, you are joining the best. The Big Mouth advantage is simple and successful. We invest in a strong infrastructure and in great people. As a franchisee, you have access to this entire system, including telemarketing, sales maximization, general and administrative support, design and creative services, even billing and collection services. All you need is a mobile media vehicle, a driver, and the willingness to create a financially sound and limitless business for yourself. There are no long-term leases to sign, no expensive build-outs, no office personnel to hire. You will be part of the Big Mouth advertising community and share its entire website and reception services, as well as its complete back-office services. This virtual office guarantees you the freedom to close those sales that will make you a success. We are so proud of our successes that we have voluntarily disclosed our revenue statements. Now, how many other franchises are doing that? Even in these historically rough financial times, Big Mouth Advertising has become a dominant force in the mobile media industry. Join the Big Mouth team and take the first step toward financial freedom. Please call Ron at 888-98-GO-BIG. That's 888-98-GO-BIG.
Big Mouth!
Need a business loan? Talk to Diamond Financial Services, the experts in franchise financing nationwide. Whether you're looking to start a franchise, acquire an existing franchise, or expand your territory through opening new locations, Diamond Financial stands by your side start to finish. From pre-qualification to packaging and presenting your application to securing a financial commitment and through the loan closing process, Diamond Financial is there. While you're waiting, thousands of others are making their financial dreams come true. Don't wait any longer. Pre-qualify now by completing a confidential, no-obligation financial analysis. Let's face it, traditional banks just aren't in the business of financing small business. At Diamond Financial, we specialize in securing franchise loans from $100,000 to $3 million and equipment leasing up to $150,000. Let us help you get started. Go to www.franchisefunding.net or call 877-508-2274. That's franchisefunding.net, 877-508-2274.
Hi, everyone, and welcome back to Franchise Interviews, where we're asking the franchisepreneur who owns one. I'm your host, Marty McDermott, with my co-host, Don Johnson. And if you've ever dreamed of owning your own business, you've come to the right place. And today's show is being brought to you by Franchise Times Magazine. Franchise Times is the only publication that targets both franchisors and multi-unit franchisees. And as we were saying earlier, Don, we have a great show today. We're meeting with Fez Agbazian of Instant Tax Service. And it was something I didn't mention earlier, Don. Instant Tax Service has over 1,200 locations, and Entrepreneur actually ranked them the number one new franchise in the country for the second year in a row, so that's fantastic.
I saw that, pretty impressive.
Yeah, hey, Fez, how you doing today?
Good, is this Don? How are you guys doing?
Good, Fez, it's Marty and Don. Fez, how you doing?
I'm doing great, and the last segment, it was really insightful.
You guys good. Thanks, Fez. Fez, we always like to ask our guests where you're calling from this morning so we can get an idea of what the weather's like over there.
I am at the home office in Dayton, Ohio today, and it's beautiful up here. It's about 75 degrees, and another great morning.
Fantastic.
Excellent. Good.
Yeah, you have an interesting background, Fez. I was reading about you. Do you want to talk a little bit about what you were doing before starting Instant Tax Service?
Yeah. Yeah, I actually got into the tax business pretty early. I was started my sophomore year at the University of Cincinnati, and a friend of mine needed to borrow some money, and I said, I'll lend it to you. When are you going to pay me back? He said, I went to H&R Block and got a refund, and I'll get it back to you in a couple of days. So
right.
that I was looking for a business opportunity. We were going through a recession right around 1992, 1993, mm-hmm. and I was a business major, and I was working at Procter & Gamble, lower level
right.
job, but I kind of saw people getting laid off, and it kind of just put mm-hmm. in my head that I had to start my own business to control my destiny. So
yeah.
I got lucky and opened my first office, and I was in Cincinnati for 6 years. Over 6 years, we got it to 26 locations, and I sold it to a Fortune 500 company. And then I used the
yeah.
proceeds of that sale to start the current company, Instant Tax Service.
That's fantastic. That's a great story.
Yeah.
Good. And so, I guess part of trying to control your own destiny, Fez, is also trying to make millionaires of other people, help other people as well, which is always nice about, you know, starting up a business, especially a franchise system. Tell us a little bit about Instant Tax Service, the, you know, more of the history. So you sold that other business, and then how did you go about starting up Instant Tax?
I sold the other business, and I had a group of about 10 friends who said, hey, that was pretty cool. Can you show us how to do the same thing?
Mm-hmm.
And I was looking to go into another business, maybe go to graduate school, and I just couldn't resist the urge of getting back into the same business, knowing mm-hmm. everything that I knew and growing the first business for the first
right.
six, 7 years. So I had a friend in Chicago, had a friend in Indianapolis, and one in Washington, D.C., and a couple in Atlanta, and one in Orlando. And we started out by doing licenses. So I issued licenses. I didn't know that much about franchising at the time.
Mm-hmm.
And I loaned those guys the money to get started, and we did that for 3-4 years, and that was working out pretty well, and that's when we decided, you know what, franchising is the way we need to go. That's essentially
right.
what we have here. So in 2004, we became an official franchise company, and since then, we've added about 300 new franchisees in the 1,200 locations that you talked about. So initially, it started out with friends and family who knew my story and wanted to get into the business.
That's great.
When you sold your first business, Fez, did they make you sign any type of non-compete? Because it seems like you got right back into the tax business soon after you sold.
Whenever I tell the story, guys, they always tell me, I want to hire your lawyers. What kind of
yeah,
can I get you?
Gotcha.
But I only had a 5-year, 10-mile non-compete.
Wow.
So I did this in Cincinnati, and so I still have family. My mother and father are still in Cincinnati, and I want to stay close to them. So I moved up 30 miles up the street to Dayton, Ohio, and
That's
started
amazing.
All back up again. So I couldn't open any stores in Cincinnati for five
right.
years, but I could do it anywhere else in America.
That's a great story.
So since then, I've talked to the people who bought the company, and they said, hey, if we ever decide to do that again, we're going to non-compete is going to
right.
be, you know, it's going to consist of the entire Earth, so you'll have to start tax offices in another planet somewhere. You know?
That's fantastic.
Yeah.
So how do you describe the Instant Tax Service franchise system? Say to a new prospect or franchisee, Fez.
Yeah, first, what was important to me was, you know, when I first started my first office, I had about $15,000, and that included, you know, credit cards available
mm-hmm.
on credit cards. And so what's been important to me since day one is allowing franchisees to get into the system for as little money as possible.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, we have people that have gotten to our business for $5,000-$10,000. We have a kiosk model that that doesn't require you to open a storefront. You can be a co-tenant in an insurance office. A car lot. We don't care. It's sort of a like kind business. So we have a lot in check cashing locations. So somebody comes to us for $5,000, for $10,000, we'll help them get into business. And what will happen is they'll build up their clientele, they'll build up their cash reserves, and then able to graduate into an actual storefront. So, you know, we can get franchises for low cost, and that's sort of been what our strategic position is. In fact, our strategic position is open doors, remove barriers, and reveal opportunities.
Great.
Well, that's pretty interesting. Is any other tax franchise or company doing that as far as kiosk or, say, renting space in a small business office?
No, as you guys know, we are Entrepreneur Magazine's lowest cost franchise.
Yeah, that's
and
fantastic.
There's a reason that we've been able to do that. So I'm not sure what the other systems do. I believe they require you to open a storefront, where we're sort of smaller, more touchy-feely, and so we'll look at the person's financial resources and kind of direct them in the route that they should go. So, you know, we're if somebody doesn't have the finances to be able to open a storefront, it's not like a slam door, hey, get out of here.
Mm-hmm.
It's, hey, you know what, we can work with that.
Right.
Why don't you try this and you know, build your clientele up, and then you can grow into this. And so that's what we try to do, but I don't think other franchises do that.
Yeah, interesting.
Oh, it is interesting. And it's such a big market, too, Fez. You know, I mean, it's that great, I can't remember who said the quote, is it one thing certain, death and taxes, you know? So,
that's
I mean,
right.
You talk about, I mean, the market being huge. there you go, you know? And, you know, there's something else I forgot to mention, too, in your introduction, Fez. You guys weren't you ranked, I guess, the National Minority Franchising Initiative, was it top franchises for minorities, you know, which
yeah,
is another great accolade.
Yeah, I appreciate that, and there really isn't that many franchises where not only is the owner, founder, a minority, but I believe right now about 40% of our franchisees are minorities as well. And that sort of just goes and speaks a little bit more about, that opening doors, revealing barriers,
right.
and opportunities in that. You don't get – if we see somebody who's got the hunger and the drive,
mm-hmm.
We don't turn them away. We can work with what we
– work with them.
What they have, absolutely.
That's fantastic.
Well, I think you're positioned pretty nicely because during this rough recession, I don't know what the exact statistic is, but, you know, many franchises that are getting sold are, you know, under 100,000.
Yeah.
So that puts your franchise at something that people will look at. And like what Marty said, hey, this is a service that's always needed.
Right.
You know what? We've had a record sales year.
That's incredible.
We will sell more franchises this year than we've had before. And I'll be quite honest with you. We were initially worried about it when we had our area developer conference earlier this year. I warned all our area developers, I think it's going to be the hardest year selling for you guys just because of the economy. I think people are scared. Cash is king, and they're not going to be willing to part with that. And that hasn't been the case at all. It's because of massive layoffs, because insurance agencies are getting hurt because of the Geicos and the Progressives of the world, because real estate agencies are getting hurt, because mortgage brokers are getting hurt. You got all these guys looking for other opportunities. So it's been a really, really great year in terms of sales. So if you're the low-cost franchise person, there's still incredible opportunities out there.
Yeah, you can see a lot of people that have been, you know, burned, I guess you could say, by corporate America. You know, Don and I were talking about the stories in segment one, even over the last month, and it's just, it's really sad, you know, when you hear some of these stories, you know, and I don't think people want to go back to that, you know what I mean? It's just, there's not much security there.
Yeah, it's really
bad. Now, you mentioned, Fez, some of these industries, and, you know, everybody seems to get hurt during a, you know, rough economy. Do you see certain types of businesses that are adding on instant tax as an add-on business and revenue stream for their office, like an insurance agent, or some of that stuff going on too?
That's a great question, and that's sort of where a lot of our sales are coming from. We just signed up a 30-store operation in New York of insurance agents where, hey, Fez, we've seen a 50% hit on our business because, you know, when somebody is sort of stretched pretty thin, insurance is the last thing that they want to pay.
Right.
So our revenues have gone down. So we had a couple guys last year add taxes to their services, and that worked out so well that a lot of their friends joined. So we just sold a 30-store chain in New York to go ahead and add taxes to their business. So that we're seeing a lot of that, yes.
Wow. That's a great story.
Particularly with insurance agents.
That makes a lot of
sense. Wow, interesting.
Yeah, no, it is very interesting. How has technology played a role in your business, Bez?
The thing that is sort of the driver in our business is, again, doing a tough economy, is speed of mm-hmm. the refund.
Right.
You know, it's what we do essentially is somebody comes into our office, we prepare the tax return, We transmit that tax return. The IRS gets it. We get that acknowledgement back. Then we send it to a bank, and then the bank looks at it, and they approve or deny the loan, and the person walks out of our office with a check. Everything I just mentioned happens in about 10 minutes. Technology is huge for us. And you know, when you make your money in 15 weeks and you have the other 9 months to think about what you did wrong, if you did something wrong or what didn't go right, it's sort of a really, really tough time. So speed of refund, communicating during that short period of time, mm-hmm. Making sure the advertising is working and we know where what station's working, what station's not working. So we're sort of the average age of our leadership team is 34 years old. So we utilize technology a lot to grow our business, and that's one of the things that I'm really proud of in what's helped us grow the last few years.
That's great. It's an interesting business too, Fez. I mean, because I guess it is kind of like, I guess you could say, like a seasonal type of business where I guess, you know, during the first part of the year, I guess your franchisees are very, very, very busy. And, you know, the other part, I guess they can kind of gives them a lifestyle, right, where there's more time for family or, I mean, what do they do during the off season?
You know what? That's a great question, because last year we had one of our franchisees whose wife had a baby. I believe they had to deliver after 6 months.
Right.
And so he was in the prenatal care for the entire month of May, June, July, August, and September. And the nurses wanted to know, hey, well, we don't see you going to work. Where do you work? I mean, you've been here the entire 5 months. And so that is the fantastic thing about this business.
Oh, yeah.
It allows you time to – there's a downtime. So we sort of have two groups of franchisees. The franchisees who've been doing this for some time, I would say 3 years plus,
mm-hmm.
Really do nothing for the rest of the year.
That's amazing.
It's raise family, trips, you know, whatever that person
right.
wants to do. We have a couple of franchisees that own a couple other franchises. And then there's sort of the new crop of franchisees who know they have to go get another job until the following tax season.
Mm-hmm. Just own another franchise, or in the case of maybe some of those, bookkeepers or insurance
right.
people who are going to be operating year-round, and this can be the time of year that they can really bring in the revenue.
And that's exactly right. We actually looked at developing our own second and third brand that our franchisees could run from their stores, and we just found it a lot easier to get in somebody else's storefront that was already offering insurance, that was already offering real estate services and that sort of thing, and kind of, you know, co-tenant with them was sort of easier for us than having them build two or three businesses at the same time. But that's exactly right. It makes it easier for those guys who are already used to working year-round.
Mm. Is there any numbers on the industry, Fez? I mean, as far as, like, how big
yeah.
this industry is? I mean, I know it's pretty big.
Yeah, well, as you said, everybody has to file a tax
right.
return. And last year, 61% of Americans who got taxes filed went to a professional to get their taxes prepared. So that represents about 80 million tax returns. What's sort of unique in our industry is when you look at the top four or five largest tax preparation people, H&R Block, Jackson Hewitt, Liberty, and us, combined, we do about 22, 23 million of the 80 million tax returns that are available. The other 60 million plus go to accountants, mom and pop shops, and that sort
right.
of thing. So it's a highly fragmented industry where there's a lot of opportunities for somebody to come in and take market share away from the large guys or from independents.
Well, that's what a lot of people don't realize. There's still a lot of room for growth to be a franchise owner. They're thinking the H&R Blocks and Liberty Tax Service have the bulk of the business. It's just the opposite.
That's exactly right. This is sort of one of the few industries where, when you look at burgers and McDonald's, or when you look at rental car with Hertz, the top guys end up having 45, 50, 60% of the overall business. Our business is sort of unique, where the largest guy only has 16-17% of the overall pay tax preparation industry. There is sort of a misconception out there in that with the dot-coms, with the TurboTax and those other brands, that more people are filing online. And that's the case, but it's the people that have been preparing it themselves that are moving to online. It's not the people who've been going to a tax preparer that are moving online. So our industry continues to grow.
It makes sense. I mean, and the one thing, too, Fez, is, you know, and I know you know this, too, Don, is, I mean, the tax laws seem to change every year, too, you know? I mean, new laws coming into play, and it's just hard for, I think, the average person to really stay on top of all that. You know, everyone's lives are just so busy that, you know, you don't want to miss something, you know? And I think that's, you know, another great part of your business is you guys are the experts, you know.
Yeah, that's sort of what surprises a lot of people with software, with our industry. The software is different every year.
Right.
It's not like buying Microsoft Excel and I can use it for the next 4 or 5 years before the next version comes out. No, we have to update the software based on new laws and new you know, increases in the standard deduction or the itemized deduction.
Right.
And so every year the software is brand new because there's different laws. So, yes, that's sort of unique in our industry.
That's,
I think people are paranoid. They don't want to cheat themselves out.
Right, exactly. That's what I was thinking. You know, it's makes
yeah,
a lot
and,
of sense.
We have quite a bit of people who do it themselves and kind of bring it in. And sure enough, we'll find a mistake here and there and show them that that it's better to go to professional. But most people realize that, like I said, 61% of Americans go to a preparer to get their taxes done.
Something. Guys, we have to take a quick break. Can you stick around for another segment?
Absolutely.
That's fantastic. We'll be right back with more Franchise Interviews.
Are you one of those special people who are willing to go after your dreams and goals? Are you ready to fulfill that dream of owning your own business with the security of a proven brand, the opportunity to take control of your future, and own a Rita's Italian Ice franchise is within your reach?
Rita's is seeking success-oriented individuals who are ready to make a change in their life, and Rita's offers unparalleled training and support to assure your success. And did you know, the frozen treat industry is a recession-proof industry, and there are Rita's in 23 states currently with 540 stores open. Rita's Italian Ice has been around for 25 years and is listed as a top-performing franchise by the Wall Street Journal.
Now here's the really good part. Rita's Italian Ice is a unique and amazing taste treat. It's smoother than a snow cone, and it combines ice with real fresh fruit. The real fruit adds dramatically to the taste, and it comes in over 40 flavors. The ice and fruit are mixed on site and made fresh daily, and it is delicious.
You'll want to know more about this exciting and successful franchise opportunity. Go to www.ownaritas.com and get all your questions answered. That's www.ownaritas.com to take control of your dreams and future today. You don't want to wait any longer to be a part of this adventure. www.ownaritas.com. Franchise Interviews. For over 2 years now, Franchise Interviews has been giving you an up-close, behind-the-scenes look at franchising and entrepreneurship.
Through our website, franchiseinterviews.com, where you can hear and read interviews, as well as get tips from some of the most successful sources in franchising.
And our weekly franchise radio show, where each week you get to hear a new interview with franchisors, franchisees, franchise authors, experts, and attorneys.
And our free franchise newsletter, which is a must-read for anyone looking to buy a franchise.
And don't forget to listen to our podcast, Great Quotes in Franchising. For more information, go to franchiseinterviews.com or call us at 610-905-2919.
That's 610-905-2919.
Hi, everyone, and welcome back to Franchise Interviews, where we're asking the franchisepreneur who owns one. I'm your host, Marty McDermott, and my co-host, Don Johnson. And if you've ever dreamed of owning your own business, you've come to the right place. We have a great show today. We're meeting with the CEO of Instant Tax Service, Fez Agbazian. And Instant Tax Service has over 1,200 locations in 34 states. And Don, I think you're up.
Yes, Fez, talk to us a little bit about what you feel, what types of characteristics you look for in a franchisee.
You know, it's one thing that's sort of been really helpful in the growth of our franchise and me as a franchise executive is going to the IFA every year and just learning from other franchisors. The fact that you can just walk up to Fred DeLuca and ask him questions is just a great testament to the IFA.
Right, yeah, it's a great show.
And so, I don't feel ashamed to say that that was sort of like every franchisor when we first started. If you could write us a check, we let you into the system.
Yeah.
I've heard that from everybody down there.
Right.
Once we grew up, we actually have a discovery day where we kind of tell the people about the system. Then we give them a DISC assessment that lets them know what kind of personality, what their strengths are, what their weaknesses mm-hmm. are, and we let them know if this franchise is the right business for them or not. What's traditionally worked, what I like is the person that has the hunger and the willingness to work hard and shown examples of that in other business life or at their job. And, they're just hungry and motivated and they want to work hard. So, we have a test and, like I said, we put them through this test and we've got some great IT folks here that have sort of built a traffic light for us where it's a red, a yellow, or green in terms of approving that franchisee. We kind of spread across wide spectrum. We've got CPAs who've joined us, and we've got a 22-year-old who was able to get $20,000 from his parents have joined our franchise system, and they both do well. That's sort of it really isn't one kind of right person. It's a person who's willing to work hard.
Excellent. Talk about training a little bit. I'm sure you have a nice program.
Yeah, we do. We have a one-week training here at our corporate headquarters, and we show them everything, site selection, site design. We actually have a full day of where we actually prepare taxes, and we show them the software. The thing that I love to do, guys, is starting in March, I go out there and start visiting franchisees. The unique thing about our business is I can't travel year-round in June, July, and August and go to a franchisee's business because they're closed.
Right.
I got to do it during that tax season. So one of the things I learned this year was, hey, Fez, training was great, but it didn't really prepare us for what that first day is like. And there are franchisors out there who require you to work in one of their stores before you own your own. And in our business, that's not possible because, again, if somebody buys in July, they have to go through that first year before they open their own business, so it's not realistic. So what we added to training this year is we're going to have a day here in Dayton where we invite 50 to 100 of our customers and give them money to come and show up and be a client in August and September and October during our training so that we can sort of show them what tax season is like during training. A lot of our franchisees, just that first day is just really, really tough. So that's something that we're adding to franchising, to our training this year.
Make for a smoother transition. It's a good idea.
Right. Absolutely.
Yeah, it should make it a lot easier.
One of the questions we like to ask someone like yourself is what advice would you give to an aspiring entrepreneur looking to buy a franchise? The majority of our listeners are aspiring franchisees. What would you say to them?
I think whenever I've seen a franchisee disappointed, and guys, one thing we haven't talked about is we're one of the few franchisors that has a buyback policy where if they're not happy after their first year, we'll actually give them their franchise fee back, and they can leave the system. I created that the first year that we got into business. It wasn't something that was written. It was something that I did for a couple of franchisees because mm-hmm. they said, it's not what I thought it was, or it's really hard, or it's not really the business is not really catered to what I'm good at. So
right.
It's something that we've made available. But what the it's a business where you have to work hard for the first few years to build up your business. And I think there are some people who have unrealistic expectations and come in and they think they'll be millionaires overnight. So there's some issues there, but other than that, everything has worked pretty well.
Yeah, I think that's important. It's fantastic, and I think Don, we haven't heard too much of anything like that before.
Right. We've read some articles in the past, certain franchisors giving some guarantees, but that's very rare in the industry. But that's something great that you have to give that franchisee the confidence that if these guys have this type of policy, they must be pretty confident at their program.
And
so
that's exactly what we wanted to convey. And we tell our area developers, hey, listen. You're on the hook for that store, for that territory. So whatever store it is that you help the franchisee find, make sure it's a location that if the franchisee wants to get out, another franchisee in that area will want that store.
Right.
So it's really been great for us in that you can have a franchisee walk away that doesn't want to be in the business and allows us to also let somebody out who doesn't want to be in the system. So it's worked out really well for us so far.
Great. What's the best way our listeners could get more information on becoming an Instant Tax franchisee, Bez? Is there a website they can go to?
Yeah, just InstantTaxService.com, call franchising, and we'll tell you everything, and shoot us an email to our franchise division, one of our area developers, we'll call you back.
Okay, perfect. And we'll put that up on our website as well, so our listeners can actually just link right to your website as well.
Great, thank you, gentlemen.
And I want to thank you again, Fez. You've been a fantastic guest, and we'd love to have you back in the near future.
Thank you, Fez. Great job.
Great show, huh, Don?
Yeah, interesting story with his background.
Yeah.
And it sounds like he made some money early on, started up soon afterwards in the same industry, and built it up. I can't believe how many units they have.
It's inspirational, isn't it? When you hear stories like that, there's a lot of things I like about this particular franchise. So,
right.
Yeah, we're going to have to watch them and keep our eye on them, like I said, we'll have them back next year as they continue to grow, So
gave some great answers to all of our questions.
He sure did, So good job today, Don. And for our listeners, go to franchiseinterviews.com, franchisefunding.net, gofranchise.com. And we got an incredible show next week that you don't want to miss. We're going to have a three-hour show with some of the biggest franchise attorneys in the country. So that's a must-listen to show.
Keep things moving. Good job, Marty.
Good job, Don, and I'll be talking to you next week.
Take care.
Take care.
Bye bye. Bye bye.
She was brought into this world with more than anyone could need. Silver spoon and mouth, success was passed through bloodlines guaranteed. But all the riches in this life without love just don't mean a thing. She treated charmed existence without thought, just to see what it might be.